It is so good to see all of you this morning. We want to say special welcome to all of our missionaries who are in the worship with us. We're excited about all that we're going to be doing with our missionary guests today. Thank you for being a part of worship. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, it's very simple. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you don't mind taking that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person when it reaches you, please, once you're done, send it back to where it got started. We do ask the first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. A few things I'll remind you about. We are having children's time today. It's not printed in your bulletin, but after the first hymn, we're going to get the kids to come down here and meet with me for just a few moments. I want to say a special greeting from Belize. Our high school mission team just returned on Friday, had an incredible week of work in Orange Walk there in Belize, the northwest part of that country. Folks, you have lots to be proud of. Our team did an incredible work, and they learned how to make concrete the Central America way, which is without a mixer. You are the mixer. They did just incredible work. They did 3 days of VBS. Every day, the numbers grew, and our young people did an incredible job sharing Christ. And we will be sharing more about that in the coming weeks. And we look forward to sharing those stories with you. Cameron, come on.
Thanks. Good morning. So morning. I'm here again to remind you about Stay and Play that is going to be on this Wednesday. We had a great time this past Wednesday with our Minute to Win It. And this week we're going to be doing variations of volleyball. And before the word volleyball scares you, we're going to be playing with this nice light ball that we have right here so that your arms won't get killed by a hard volleyball. And so we're going to have all kinds of modifications to the rules. So, like, we'll sit down and try and hit a beach ball, or we'll have, like, a blanket over the net. It'll be all kinds of fun things for everybody to enjoy. So I hope you all come out and stay and play after Bible study, which starts around 6 o'clock. Thanks.
To be clear, you don't have to wear socks like that to play, right? Okay. All right. Just making sure. Krista.
We have an exciting day today. I just cannot thank you enough for all your prayers and support for our day today. As we have heard Kim and Mark speak and share with us in the early service at 9, a great turnout. And then also during Sunday school, Nell and Butch Green talked about their work in Dallas in trafficking of humans. And it was just, wow, just opened our eyes to the great need for help. And we appreciate their willingness to go into such a very dangerous type of work, to carrying God's love and carrying the word of God to these folks. And now we just want to welcome this morning Mark and Kim Wyatt, who are going to be sharing with us this morning. And they have great connections with this church and love this church. And they have been Cooperative Baptist Fellowship missionaries since 1996. They served in Thailand. They served in Canada. They have two wonderful children, Rebecca and John Mark, are doing good things. And now they're going to tell you about what they're doing, but it involves a welcome house, welcoming internationals into our country just to give them the love of Christ, a warm bed, good food, just to give them love, let them meet people who love the Lord right off and be their first friends when they come our way. And so we look forward to what they have to share with us, and we want to remind you that this evening at 6 o'clock, we're just going to have a cover dish dinner. We have more missionaries that are coming to be with us, and there are some that are speaking in other churches today in our area. And they're going to be here tonight for our cover dish at 6 o'clock, just plan to convene. And you can come a little early, bring your food before that if you'd like. It would be helpful if you would. And then we'll meet together. And then the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship missionaries will be meeting here Monday and Tuesday and using this as their annual meeting and gathering place with training and being together before they go back to their prospective places of ministry. Also, I'd like to point out that the Mosses are here today, which are the CBF Belize missionaries to Belize, and that's so interesting that they can be here, and our folks, our kids, and their leaders have just returned from Belize. So we welcome you, and we're glad that you're here with us. And we do thank those who will help with our flag procession today. Thank you for all that you have done to help them feel welcome as they've come our way.
Okay, a couple of reminders. It is the middle of summer, so that means we've got camps going on all the time. Sports camp starts tomorrow for all our elementary age kids, first through third grade in the morning, fourth through sixth grade in the afternoon. Preschool day camp, elementary day camps coming up very soon. Make sure you check out the website or see the notes there in your bulletin. Many, many good things that are happening in the life of our congregation. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad. We're very thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside that packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. We'll make sure we get to everybody there. I've been on several international mission trips, and I have to say that this one, I've been to the Bahamas, I've been to Jamaica, and then I've been to Honduras, I've been to Belize a couple of times now. One of the things that always struck me, and especially this time, when there was a church on every block, it seemed, in Orange Walk, many churches. And I was, when our team walked in, it seemingly doubled the number of people in the church that were at worship that day. And I was reminded throughout the week that it is not about how much money you make, what kind of house you live in, if you even have a car to drive. It's about the relationships that we have with fellow human beings. Because the children of Belize were made by the same hands of God that our children were. It is about how we love people. And we serve a God who loves people so much that he nailed his son's hands to the cross. That's why we worship. That's why we share his word throughout the world. Let us prepare for worship, for what God wants to do in us and through us everywhere we go. Pray with me. praising my Savior all the day long. God, that is what I want to do this morning. To begin to tell you how much I love you, how thankful I am for you, how grateful for your mercy and your grace, for your forgiveness, for your power, for your sovereignty, for how you have never left us, you've never forsaken us. God, thank you for the promises that come true day after day after day after day. Father, may we gather our voices and our hearts together as we worship you. Come into this place, we pray. And may all that is done be done to glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Will you please join me in this responsive reading in the bulletin? Oh God, you sent your Son to take upon himself our suffering, to teach us your ways, and to bear the penalty of our sin.
We are amazed by the wonder of your grace.
On the cross, Jesus made a way of salvation for all who put their trust in him.
We declare our trust in the one name that saves.
From the cross comes a message of forgiveness and a new life for all kinds of people.
Help us who have received this good news not to keep it to ourselves.
Okay, invite the kids. Come on down for children's time. What do y'all think of all these flags? Pretty cool, huh? What are they for? That's a good answer. Good question. I've actually got a very special flag that I want to show you. Does anybody know where the youth have been the last week? Belize. We went to Belize. We were there for a week, and we got to do vacation Bible school, and we got to do some construction in a church called Orange Walk Baptist Church. And they, actually, the last night we were there, they gave us some gifts to say thank you for us coming there and spending that week with them. And I actually have the flag that they gave us right here. And we're going to put it up in the youth room just to remember our trip. Kind of like the RA flag. It's kind of, you see all these flags that are up here? You see, these are all the countries. There are lots of people that live around the world and speak different languages. And we wanted to bring in some people today that are called missionaries. They go into all these countries and they tell people about Jesus. Because one of the things that Jesus told us is to go and make disciples. That means go and tell people of the good news that God loves them and that He came to die on the cross for them. And so I see all these flags, and I think about kids like, there's a Joshua that we got to meet, and a Somalia, and lots of kids that we got to spend time with. And this flag just reminds me of them. Kids just like you, that like to play games, that like hugs, that like candy, that like, do you like those icy pops? Oh, they love those. The kids that are just like you live in all these countries that we need to remember to pray for them, to pray for the people that are serving them, and to be thankful that we know a God who loves kids of all kinds. And you know what that reminds me to do? If God loves all these kids, I need to too. When I go to my school, maybe there are kids that's different than me. I need to love them. Because that's what God does, and that's what He expects. When you see all these flags, I want you to pray and say thank you to God for all these kids around the world and pray that somebody will tell them about Jesus, and then you go to your school and you tell your friends about Jesus too. That's what these flags remind me of. And I am thankful for all the people that go and serve all around the world for Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for the missionaries who came to talk with us today. Thank you for all the places that they're serving you, working for you, telling people about Jesus. These flags remind me of that this morning at Orange Walk Baptist Church, that my new friends are worshiping there this morning, just like Christians around the world. Father, I pray that we remember to always treat people the way we want to be treated, no matter what country they come from, that we always love them and we show them God's love. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your places now.
Would you join me in reading responsive, please? We are your church, O God.
May we be your hands and feet in this world.
Many in our own workplaces, communities, and families have not yet experienced the fullness of your grace.
May we be your voice in calling others to trust in your Son.
Jesus declared, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria,
in this community. Help us to give witness to your grace in Jesus.
You called your church, both then and now, to cross boundaries for witness.
Help us to witness to those within our country who are geographically or culturally at a distance.
From the cross, through the church, to the world your grace must flow.
Help us to be agents of your mission.
From the cross comes a message of forgiveness and a new life for all kinds of people.
Help us to have received this good news, not to keep it to ourselves.
Powerful words before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. And my name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. How beautiful those words are, and they speak to us of the ever-present love of our Lord. I just want to remind us before we have our prayer together today that Jesus came and said to his followers, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." Would you please bow with me in prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great call that comes to each of us. And you know how to speak to just each of us that we may hear. You know what each one here today, what our families are capable of doing for you in ways we can serve and individuals can serve that are unique to themselves. Father, we all have that call. We thank you for those who have given of their lives, who are with us here today, and those who are working around the world, who've given their lives and their families, their time and their resources, their gifts and talents, to go and follow you to serve in places they perhaps would not choose to live, to go and to do things perhaps on their own they would not even choose to do. But they hear your voice calling them into the pockets of greatest need, to dark areas, to areas where your name has not been announced, to areas where your light does not shine. And there they go, giving up their earthly life for you, giving all they have to do whatever you tell them to do. Thank you so much for their lives. Thank you that we can support them with our prayers and with our resources. And Father, we just pray now that because all of us are called, all of us have gifts, that you would make your call known within our hearts, and that even perhaps there may be some here today who might feel that tug at their heart to become a missionary for you and to serve wherever you may send and to enter into that rewarding service. So, Father, speak to us now how you want us to serve in our neighborhoods, in our church, especially wherever we go, extending the eternal love and light of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, light of Will you pray with me? Lord, where do we start to express our gratitude to you? You bless us in so many ways. We thank you today particularly for our missionaries who have heard your call, responded, and love others in your name. We pray that you will bless their work. We thank you for this church, for our leaders, for our staff, for the ways the church nurtures us and prepares us to serve. We pray that you will guide us in the opportunities that are available, that we will love people in your name. Thank you for the many, many blessings you give us, and we pray that you will bless this offering that is given to further your work today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. As we begin our message this morning, we want to first say that from the time we heard of the great loss that you have endured, our prayers have not ceased for you. Our love for you, the testimony that you demonstrate, Pastor, your family, this church, that is always in our mind and always in our heart. As we celebrate God's good work in the world, we look at you and we see such a powerful testimony of faithfulness despite great, great suffering. And we just want you to know this as we share this message. We love you. We thank you for extending this privilege to us. But you're in our prayers. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. We want to thank you for your faithfulness and support for the global mission of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. The offering of global missions provides sustainable support to us and our fellow field personnel worshiping here today, as well as those who are ministering in more than 30 countries on 5 continents. And if you would allow me, I'd like to ask my colleagues if you would please stand. Together, we want to thank you for your hospitality today and this week as we share your space, as we break bread with you and hear your stories and share ours, as we laugh and cry together. We want and are in community with you, and we thank you for this privilege. When you go with us, it's not just that you put a dollar in the plate. You are with us in spirit as we, all of us, serve this great global migration that's underway. These people that God so loves, these are the ones that he sent his son, that they might be reconciled to him, that they might have hope in life through Jesus Christ our Savior. You are with us as we bear witness to this good news, and as we seek to share in word and deed a way of transformation, a new life for these who only will find hope and life if they find Jesus. The scripture says, he's not far from them. Your partnership with us is a beautiful testimony wrapped and sent in love and given to those who desperately need to be loved. And that love they feel is the love of their Creator.
Kamanzi is one of the gentlemen that we've met along the journey. I taught school for 10 years, mostly 12 to 18-year-olds, and I've learned to sort of read body language. Kamanzi is in his 50s, but I read some of that same body language I had seen in those kids. He wanted to be anywhere but in that classroom that day. You see, Kamanzi had already lived in the United States in Raleigh for a solid year. He had already been working, providing for his family, but guess what? After a year, his job finished. And he realized he didn't know English, he didn't know how to read or to write. And so the refugee agency said, hey, Kamanzi, and I'm sure they said it in his home language, you need to go to ESL now. And so that's how he ended up in our classroom one Monday morning at 10 o'clock. So when I went over to him and introduced myself, I asked him, "Can you write your name on this nameplate?" Well, he proceeded to take out his wallet. And in his wallet was this piece of paper with his name written all in capital letters that someone else has written for him, so whenever the situation happens, he can share it. Well, we went through those 2 hours. And actually, I made Kamanzi my special buddy that day. He didn't know it, but I did have plans for him. And not only I, but God has plans for him. So it was with joy. And actually, he stopped that little hunched over little thing he was doing. And he actually, by the end of the day, he could tell everyone what his name was and where he was from. But he also knew how to write his name in English. Because you see, Kamanzi has never been to school anywhere before. He doesn't know how to read or write in his heart language. So you can imagine my surprise when on that Wednesday we met again. And we did the usual, you know, "My name is Kim, what is your name, where are you from?" We did all that. And then had the opportunity to invite the students, anyone who would like to, come write your name on the board. Well, you know who was the last student I ever thought would just freely walk to the board. But do you know, Kamanzi, with his shoulders back, he walked right up there, picked a green marker, and wrote his name for all the other 20 students to see. To me, that is an example of transformation. You may say, he just wrote his name. But you could see there was a pride in him. He was proud that he could finally do this for himself and not depend on his 20-year-old son to do it for him. He could do it himself. And likewise, every day he came to class, those dozen or so volunteers from about a dozen churches that come on their designated days, he felt their love for him and their walk on the journey with him. So I believe that Kamanzi is going to continue to grow in his English proficiency, but he's also going to continue to be transformed by the love of God that he experiences in people like you and like me that are walking with him in this strange world, this strange country that he now calls home.
You see, God is not far from any one of us. With more than 232 million migrants in the world, including millions of refugees, we live in an age of unprecedented human mobility. These movements of people allow us the opportunity to extend hope and hospitality to those fleeing hostility or who are drawn to a better promise of life for their family. The gospel compels us to demonstrate the kingdom that we proclaim through our faith and the character of our life together as his people, the church. We practice both the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We go to all and we love all of our neighbors in Jesus' name. We celebrate the image of God in every human life and the gifts of every human community. Our commitment is long-term, so that we might help transform the structures that oppress people and degrade God's creation. This is made possible in part because of your investment of time and prayers, participation in Yes Money, in the global mission of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And so thank you. Thank you for helping us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who've been persecuted and displaced. For some, it is the first time they have ever heard this kind of news. Well, Kim and I started this little journey with CBF more than 20 years ago, first in Thailand among an unreached people, the Palong, a hill tribe who live in 9 villages scattered along the Myanmar border. While in Southeast Asia, we learned firsthand what it means to be a foreigner, an immigrant. We experienced the struggles of trying to take care of our family when we didn't speak one word of the local language and didn't understand one cue of the culture. Those years as a foreigner were formative in our mission training and have helped shape our ministry to those who are now foreigners in our homeland. We know what it feels like to be so homesick that it becomes hard to start your day and to leave your home in the morning. We know what it's like to pray with all our heart and all our might, God, help my mind and my lips work so I can speak this language to your glory. God, give me grace and help me be patient until my homesickness is replaced with real friends from here who will love and welcome me and make this new strange place home. Now, just as some of those prayers were starting to be realized, well, we were asked to put on a coat and pitch a tent in the Great White North. For 15 years, we served alongside local Canadian churches in refugee resettlement agencies in three of the country's largest cities, where we helped asylum seekers and other internationals assimilate into the multicultural mosaic of Canada. We often mark that time not in years, but in winters. 15 winters. Because they really know how to do it up there. When we first arrived, our little biddies thought they had died and gone to snow heaven. But I'll tell you what, as the one who had to shovel it, it won't heaven.
And now, thanks to a partnership with CBF North Carolina, we have been working and been posted to North Carolina to serve in the Research Triangle among the people that now call North Carolina home. And that's really strange to us because, you know, we're both from North Carolina. I'm from Durham. And actually, Joy Wyatt, Mark's mother, said to tell you all hello, because around 1960, they brought their baby with them, and they were living on Polo Road and teaching public school here and attending this church.
Well, we were supposed to say Northwest. Y'all ever heard of that? Northwest High School?
If it still exists. Yeah.
My dad was a basketball coach.
So now we've circled the globe and returned home to continue the work right here in North Carolina that God has called us to, welcoming those from faraway places and helping make this their new home. Did you know that over 250 languages are spoken every day in this state? That for 10 straight years, more people have moved to North Carolina than have moved out of it? Did you know that? Our state is one of the fastest growing, most desirable places to live and raise a family in this country. In any given year, there are 14,000 international students attending our universities, our colleges, and our technical schools. Do y'all know any good universities around here? There are approximately 780,000 immigrants who live in North Carolina and another 410,000 who are not yet documented. God is bringing the nations of the world here. Here to us. The Bible says this great migration is a part of His master plan. He is bringing people near to us, to the communities near our churches, near where we live, so that they might reach out to Him and find Him, though He is not far from any of them, not far, because He is in us. The Spirit of God is with us and in us. We are called to be the presence of Christ among our neighbors. As advocates for internationals in the Research Triangle, Mark and I serve alongside churches and organizations in welcoming refugees, immigrants, international students, international business people, and the trafficked.
Everyday planes land in our airports, arriving from distant lands. Some of those passengers will call North Carolina home, but some one day hope that it might just be home. Folks like Felix, a new American whose story is not unlike the thousands of other refugees who have come to North Carolina. They come from the war-torn corners of the earth, the places that you see displayed on TV. For Felix, it was just a normal day. Let's just call it Thursday. In a small African village, he was just at home. And then in the flash of an eye and with the sounds of gunfire, his family was torn in half. He and his wife had grabbed the children's hands, at whichever kids they could grab, and they fled in different directions, hoping to evade capture and death. Each instantly became single parents with no possessions, no home, only the hands of their children and fear. Each made a heroic journey with only half of their family along the refugee highway. They spent the next 5 years apart with no word of the other's safety or what had happened to the other half of their family. But thanks to the work of refugee resettlement agencies from around the world and here in North Carolina, Felix and his children were resettled here. They set up house and they started over half a family. Then, almost out of the blue, Felix got a call. After all that time, and with little hope of ever seeing his wife and his children, the other children, again, well, it was a miracle. He made his way to the airport, and after those 5 long years, his family was reunited near baggage claim. While other travelers were trying to retrieve their little black bags, but for him, his wife, his children, it was a tearful and joyful reunion. And their family is now whole again, and their house is now home again.
North Carolina is 10th in the nation for receiving refugees. Approximately 2,500 refugees call North Carolina home each year. Our country is among the most welcoming of refugees. This year, we're expected to receive, as a nation, around 85,000 refugees. That may seem like a lot of suffering, and it is. Folks out of fear having to flee where they live. But that represents less than 1% of the total refugee population. From our partnership with local refugee agencies in the Research Triangle, we've learned that one of the challenges is that when refugees first arrive, their apartment is often not ready. Have you ever tried to move in North Carolina in 2 weeks, move one house to another? Well, that can be a challenge. So that is why just this year, Welcome House has opened. It's a temporary housing for newly arrived refugees. They can stay from about 1 to 6 weeks until that permanent home is available. While with us at Welcome House, we extend the love of Christ by practicing the golden rule, providing a safe place to rest, sharing meals, and giving opportunities to meet new friends. We've had 78 guests since October. When they first arrive, they're met at the airport. They're brought to Welcome House, where someone has provided a culturally appropriate meal. After the meal, they usually take that hot shower, and then they have a clean place to sleep and a safe place to stay as they start over. The next morning, they begin their new life in America with the help of volunteers from local churches. There are many important tasks they must do before they can be self-sufficient. And so, those who engage as volunteers, most from local churches, walk with them, their newest neighbors. This mission we share with local volunteers and churches in the Triangle is all part of God's plan. You see, God is not far away from any of us. This week, our first 2 Syrian families stayed at Welcome House, and they just moved to their own permanent house on Friday. They are safe now. They are finally home, and can make home again. Their first friends are God's people, people that know God's love through Jesus Christ. Abdul and his wife Fazia were some of our guests back around Christmas. They were reunited after spending 5 months apart. Abdul was resettled here first. He had served as a U.S. military advisor in Afghanistan. He had already found a job and was living with three men when he found out that his young wife would soon be joining him.
So like any good Afghan gentleman, he decided he didn't need to bring his wife there. And we went looking for an apartment for them. One was secured, but it was going to be a couple of weeks until they could move in. Now, Fazia had never been away from her village, from her mother, from her sisters or aunts. And now she had flown halfway around the world and was in a strange, strange foreign place with a husband that she'd been separated from for a long time. When I first met this young couple, she didn't even want to come out of the bedroom. She was so scared. She'd just peek out the door. And I thought about the fact that he and his wife are exactly the same age as my daughter and my new son-in-law. And to me, my children are like 10 years old. You know what I mean? What's up with that? I guess they'll always be our babies, right? Well, they're somebody's babies. And the daddy and me just want to put my arms around them. So I said, Abdul, let's go. Not too far from here, near the university, are several culturally appropriate restaurants and grocery stores. Let's go over there and let's buy some normal stuff, you know? And so we did. We bought some things and we ordered some food. And while we were waiting for it to be brought to us, I asked him if he would translate for his young wife some words. He said, of course. So I leaned forward at the table and I said, Fazia, I know that this is a scary time. And Abdul translated for his wife. And I know that you don't want to be away from your mom or your sisters or your aunts. And he translated. She started to cry. And I thought about my daughter. What if the world spun a different direction? And my daughter was on the other side, away from us. I said, Fazia, it might not feel like it today or for a little while. Her husband translated. And I leaned in a little further and I said, but soon, I can promise, soon you will make new friends, real friends. And some will be for you, like your sisters, and like your aunts, and like your mother. She's crying. I want you to know, Fazia, that lots of people have been praying for you. You haven't met them yet, but you're going to meet them soon. And soon, they will help you feel at home again. Real people. Just from other places. Who are your neighbor? We ask you to continue to pray that God will call out from your church people who will go to all of these places. We ask that you will continue to pray that as you disciple Christians here, that you will remember this, that people from all of these places they live here too. And so we ask that you might join us. Be on mission. Be that neighbor who practices what we believe as God's people, that we are to love them as ourselves. And as you share with those neighbors, new neighbors from faraway places, remember that is in you the Spirit of God, who even if you can't speak to each other yet, God is at work because he has promised a plan for everyone, that all who will believe might know the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. God is not far from any one of us. This is our time, church. We call you to be missionaries at home. In the name of Jesus.
Please join me in the responsive reading. We are your church, O God.
May we be your hands and feet in this world.
Many around the world have not yet experienced the fullness of your grace.
May we be your voice in calling others to trust in your Son.
Jesus declared, "You will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
To those who have come from distant lands to live among us, help us to give witness to your grace in Jesus.
You called your church, both then and now, to cross national and cultural boundaries to be your witness.
Help us to witness also through those who are sent to people who have never heard the good news, as well as to support the ministries of those giving witness their own community about Christ.
From the cross, through the church, to the world,
your grace must flow. Help us to be agents of your mission.
Thank you.
ask you to remain standing. You see in an order of service that we will have a prayer for our missionaries, and we will do that, and we will have a benediction. But before we do that, let me let you know that one of our saints, Carolyn Husky, passed away yesterday, and the service for her will be here in the sanctuary Wednesday at 1 o'clock. There will be a time where family can greet you in Smith Hall following the service, but I ask that you be in prayer for Carolyn and, Carolyn's family. Many of you will remember Carolyn as a staple in the children's department. She taught first and second graders for 40 years, and many of your children, perhaps even you, came through her first and second grade class. So invite you to be in prayer for her family as they grieve the loss, but at the same time celebrate her life and all the lives that she touched. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we have heard all morning of the good work that you are doing through your people. Father, for the lives that are being changed, the patterns that are being broken, the cycles that are being broken in a constructive way, in a healthy way, in a spiritual way. Father, that points others to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. For those who are being so faithful in the face of what seems to be almost insurmountable odds, Father, we know that there are times when they must become discouraged and disheartened. But your spirit walks and empowers, gives grace and mercy and compassion when all else seems to fail. Father, help us to learn to listen to that spirit in our own lives. Your spirit guiding us, strengthening us for the journey that you've placed before us. Father, help us to learn to recognize every small whisper. And when we don't hear the whisper, help us to recognize the scream that comes from your spirit directing us, letting us know that you're in control. It's about you. And help us to be obedient. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be joyful in the journey. God, we thank you for all those who put themselves and their family in harm's way emotionally and perhaps physically, perhaps even spiritually, socially, in order to trust you, to go into all the corners of this world, whether it be here at home or Canada or wherever. Father, and as we learn to recognize your voice and as we learn to faithfully pray for those who go places that we haven't been called to, Father, we will soon recognize that every step we take, we are on mission. So now as we go from this place, as we step into our mission field, we pray that we would be faithful. Father, that you would give us that unidentifiable, but yet, Father, truly speakable joy that only comes from you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.